There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here, we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope.
With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives. Hope survives.
Hey, welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. So glad you decided to tune in today. We are here for the second full episode in season two. Today we're talking about developing a balanced life post-injury. We're going to talk about how to implement medical recommendations into your lifestyle, planning, prioritizing what that looks like, and really just like integrating your recovery into your current season of life and into your way of life. Some of the barriers for that, and just some suggestions on how to have a more well-rounded picture for overall wholeness and overall wellness in every area of life. It's really easy for either one extreme to happen or the other, the brain injury, rehab, and exercises to take over so much that you end up so much focused on the medical side of life that the rest of life feels like it is falling by the wayside, or vice versa. You can get so overwhelmed by your daily life and the things that you need to do and the meals that you need to cook and the things that you need to clean that the medical recommendations, such as exercise or nutrition, things like that might end up falling by the wayside. So it's important to be able to balance this. And while there's no one answer, all of us are different. All of our lives are different. All of our stories are different. All of our journeys are different. There is a lot of encouragement and wisdom in this episode today that I hope can help you to apply, you know, pick and choose the parts that relate to you. And I hope that there's something that you can take from this to know that, first of all, there is grace if you haven't been feeling so balanced lately. But second, there is hope to get more balanced as you continue to move forward in your recovery and in your season of life. Today, I'm joined by Marlene Rivera. She's a certified therapeutic recreation specialist and a certified brain injury specialist. So she currently serves the brain injury community in the role of clinical specialist at ReMed in partnership with Learning Services and as the Rediscover You coordinator for the Council on Brain Injury, which is also known as COBI. Marlene supports fundraising along with brain injury education and awareness, building efforts through her involvement with COBI's annual events, including David's Drive and Tribute Trek. As a clinical specialist, Marlene uses her background in recreation therapy to provide oversight of client treatment plans in an intensive neurobehavioral rehab. She is great, and one of the things that she works on with her patients is how to transition a care plan, a medical care plan, to home. So when you leave rehab or you're in a post-acute rehab setting, how do you actually transition this care plan into your home taking your current lifestyle and your current season of life into account. So that's something that she regularly does, and that's something that she wanted to come on the podcast today to share about. And I was so excited to have her on. She's amazing, and you're going to really, I think, get a lot out of this conversation. Hope After Head Injury is a global online community for brain injury survivors, caregivers, families, advocates, anyone who'd want to be part of the brain injury community. I'd like to invite you to join our Facebook support group. You can search Hope After Head Injury support group on there. We also have a page and an Instagram. And every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the Hope After Head Injury Facebook page, there's a live chat. So I've been doing this live video for over 5 years on the Hope After Head Injury Facebook page. So you can join us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that has become just such a beautiful community. We also have a monthly Zoom support meeting. You can join that by visiting hopeafterheadinjury.com/community. And the link for that is in the description of the podcast. We meet once a month, encourage each other on our journeys. You can either have your camera on or off, however you're comfortable. You can just listen, or you can come and share some of your story and encouragement with others. It's a great time to know that we are in this together, and we are stronger together as a brain injury community. I also run a group called Brain Injury Bible Study. There's also a podcast for that. If you search Brain Injury Bible Study, that should come up. And we have Zoom meetings occasionally as well, and a Facebook group. You can find that information if it's something you'd be interested in. It's basically we combine faith and brain injury recovery together in that group. Now, finally, I just want to share a reminder that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only, and it's not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now let's get started in today's interview. Today, I am so excited to welcome Marlene Rivera to Hope Survives podcast. Marlene, welcome.
Thanks, Christabel. Glad to be here.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you. I first met Marlene a couple years ago when I came to sing and speak at one of her programs that she does called Rediscover You. And so do you want to just share a little bit about yourself and what you do for the brain injury community?
Sure. So as Christabel mentioned, I had her come out to a program called Rediscover You. I'm actually the Rediscover You coordinator for the Council on Brain Injury. And the concept for Rediscover You was to create a program, which is pretty much run like a support group for brain injury survivors. But we like to hold educational sessions. We do share nights. We like to hit home very specific topics that we think brain injury survivors can kind of relate to. It helps guide the discussion so that, you know, it's not just up to the group members to initiate conversation, as we know that can be pretty difficult for some. So we like to have a specific topic in mind, and we use that to just, again, facilitate conversations about what can you practically apply to your post-injury lifestyle. So I've been a part of Rediscover You for about 4 years now, but I've been working within the brain injury community, I want to say, since I was a teenager. I actually started off at Moss Rehab as a rehab aide and then a recreation therapist at ReMed in partnership with Learning Services, and now I am a clinical specialist there while I'm also simultaneously helping to coordinate the Rediscover You programs.
I love everything that you do and everything you share. And throughout the pandemic, you've done an amazing job about making Rediscover You virtual, but yet still keeping it relevant and practical. And I just admire you so much for that. And that's one of the reasons I was so excited to have you on the podcast and when you agreed to come on and share, because I know you have so much value to share with our listeners today. So do you want to introduce the topic? This topic was your idea. And so I presented to Marlene the idea of Hope Survives podcast is we want to provide hope for all of you, our listeners, but tangible hope, practical hope, not just this abstract concept of there is always hope, which is true, but what are some things that are really going to help you? And so Marlene had an amazing idea to share with you. And so I'm going to let her take it away here.
Thanks, Christabel. So the idea that Christabel is talking about is just the concept of taking all the medical recommendations that you may be receiving post-injury. And you know, this goes for individuals who may not have sustained a brain injury, because I feel like, you know, we all need to be able to learn how to practically apply any type of recommendation we receive from a professional. And, you know, how do we apply it to our lifestyles? Because it's easy to say, hey, you need to go and do this. And then actually doing it becomes a little bit tougher. And so what we wanted to talk about was really practical ways on how to do that, you know, and where do you start? How do you even begin?
I love this idea because as a survivor, there's been so many times that I've had medical professionals and providers give me exercises, whether it's from PT or OT or vision therapy, and they'll give me things to do at home once I'm discharged. And I have such a hard time really doing it, you know, like I'll try, but it's just like so hard to keep up with everything. And sometimes as a survivor, it's just overwhelming on figuring out how to do what you know that you need to do. And then you kind of get into a spiral of guilt of when you don't do it enough, then you feel like it's hard to go back. And so I'm looking forward to these practical steps also for myself. So,
right. So as you mentioned, you get recommendations and again, trying to figure out where does that fit into your lifestyle. I think maybe the biggest barrier we run into is that we forget that there's so many other things that we're supposed to be tracking in life, right? We go into the doctor's office, we get a recommendation, and then we walk away not even questioning how it should be implemented. We just think we just got to do it, right? They told us this is what we have to do, so we just have to do it. But we don't really think about the implications it may have on, you know, how easy is it actually going to be to implement this recommendation? And this is actually going to lead us into discussing, you know, how do we communicate more effectively with our, you know, our health care professionals who are making these recommendations for us, because that can help empower us to advocate more for, you know, the type of lifestyle that we're living that we want to continue living. If it's, you know, obviously a healthy one, you want to maintain that balance in your life, but you also want to talk and make it more of a dialogue with the healthcare professional about, you know, how is this recommendation truly going to benefit your lifestyle? So let's say you get recommended to take a certain medication and you have to take it 2 times a day. Well, it's easy to say you take it in the morning, you take it at night, right? But if you don't think about what might actually be going on in your life at the time that you might be taking your medication, that can have serious implications for how you follow through with that recommendation. So, you know, I think that's something that you really want to examine, right? When you're given a recommendation, think about when in your day you're able to implement that recommendation and think about all the barriers that may come up. Because you can set an alarm, which is, I know, something that's, you know, a very effective tool. I think it's very important to set reminders for yourself. But let's say the alarm goes off in the evening and maybe you're in class in the evenings. Maybe you work in the evenings. Maybe you're with your kids in the evenings. What type of distraction is going to affect you actually following through with what that alarm is supposed to prompt you to do, right? Because I don't know about you, but there have been many times where my alarm has gone off and I know what it's for, but then something else comes up right in that moment and I'm distracted. And unless I have another alarm following it up a few minutes later, it's completely out of my mind, right? So this is what happens a lot of times with our recommendations. So again, I think one of the biggest practical tips I can give everyone is, one, identify what the barriers may be to implementing whatever recommendation it is that you've been given. So again, when it comes to recommendations, maybe you know that this medication that was prescribed to you for 2 times a day is going to be difficult for you to maintain, especially in the evenings. maybe mornings are less busy for you. And so you want to have this conversation with the prescribing doctor to say, you know, do I need to take it twice a day? Is there an opportunity for me to take it more than that or less than that to fit my current lifestyle? You know, maybe there's an extended release option. So you only have to take it once a day. That's less for you to have to remember, right? And it's less of an interruption to your current lifestyle. Or maybe there isn't. Maybe this medication, you need to take it the way the doctor originally prescribed. So then that means maybe you need to make some adjustments to your current schedule, you know? And again, that's where I think we really want to think long and hard about what the implications are when it comes to any recommendation we're given. You know, we have to weigh out the importance of all of these recommendations in our lifestyle. And so that's something that you want to think about too. Like, what brings you the most meaning in life? And how are you going to set your schedule up? Because that's a big thing, to be mindful of your schedule in a way that helps you track all of the things that are meaningful to you, but all including all of the things that are able to keep you stable so you can continue to engage in all of those meaningful things.
Yeah, I think that's great. And the point about schedule is a good one, because when it comes to schedule and routine, that is the thing that I think helps keep me on track the best. And I think could probably resonate with many of our listeners as well. I have a routine with my supplements and medicines. So I know this is what I take in the morning, this is what I take at night. And I have a routine that I do with that. I think what you said about having your lifestyle be, what's the word? Understood, considered. I think considering your own lifestyle when it comes to these things, because it's really easy to have good intentions and think, yes, I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm going to do this. And then when you forget and you find yourself overwhelmed, and then you're sitting there like, oh, I can't believe that I didn't do this. And, you know, you start to get down on yourself. And so setting yourself up for success is, like you said, identifying barriers, identifying what are some real life things that maybe could get in the way of this, and how are we going to work with this?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know sometimes it's not easy to identify what those barriers are ahead of time. Sometimes it's trial and error, right? So let's say you're already dealing with a situation where you had a medical professional make a recommendation, and you're currently trying to implement it into your lifestyle, but not as well as you thought you could. You know, we don't want to call it unsuccessful right now, because, you know, you're still trying, but, you know, you're trying to figure out how are you going to do this? I think there is value in bringing it back to whoever recommended it to you and saying, hey, listen, this is what I'm struggling with. And then helping them realize that, you know, maybe they need to help problem solve a couple more things, you know, because again, sometimes recommendations are made and the assumption is made that you're just going to be able to follow through with it, you know? So I think there's again, a lot of value in being able to communicate that you may be struggling to do that, you know, because maybe the barrier isn't obvious to you, but if you're able to discuss it and say, well, you know, I wasn't able to do it this day because this is what happened. Again, you're the medical professional who made the recommendation may be able to help you identify a better way to problem solve through those barriers. And it may be them changing their recommendation altogether. Sometimes the recommendation might even be, you know what, let's hold off on this specific recommendation and let's work on something else. Because sometimes you need to stabilize another area of your life before you can go and work on something else. And that's important. That's important to know that there are several things that you're trying to juggle in life, and you want to be able to prioritize what's most important so that as the pieces fall in line, it becomes a little bit easier for you to manage.
I think that's a great point. And as a survivor, there's only so much that you can tolerate at once. And some days are different than other days. So let's say, you know, you set up a schedule, an exercise schedule. Let's say you have exercises from PT or vision exercises, and all best laid plans, best laid intentions, you know, you've worked it into your schedule, but then you wake up with a terrible headache. Mm-hmm. You're just having a bad brain day and you start to struggle, and then your exercises start to set off more symptoms because you're not tolerating it very well. And then you get behind, and then the next day, and it snowballs until the point where you're depressed and you're just feeling like you failed and like this week has been horrible. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything. Totally am. Totally speaking from experience. I know what it's like to take on too much and have all the best intentions of trying to implement medical recommendations, but just curling up and watching Netflix and feeling like failure. So what is some advice you would have for survivors who struggle with balancing all the things that they know that they need to do, but aren't unsure how to do them?
Yeah. First, I'd like to say, you know, you're not alone in feeling that way. You know, I think all of us end up in a situation where we feel like we should be doing something that we're not currently doing, right? And sometimes it could cost us our health and wellness stability. And other times it's more of just a disappointment factor in our own psyche. Like we're kind of being harder on ourselves than maybe others would be. So I think the best way, again, is to just keep talking about it. You know, one of the biggest things we need to remember is that we're not alone when it comes to not being able to follow through on something that we know we should be doing, right? I think there are always times where we're not going to be our best selves. And maybe you're struggling with that now. The best thing for you to be able to do is not stay in that space, that headspace alone. The best thing you can do for yourself is to communicate, you know, constantly communicate with others. We talked about how Rediscover You is like a support group. And of course, this podcast, you know, Christabel, you get to share so much information with many listeners who I know value this experience. And I think that's something that you definitely want to encourage people to continue to do. Because if you don't talk about it, how are you supposed to get the help you need to be able to move forward? I was reading something about, you know, we put a lot of confidence in ourselves and we think we can just do it, right? Do it on our own. Like it takes just our own willpower. But the truth is, sometimes that's not enough. And sometimes certain things we're not meant to do on our own. You know, we were meant to connect with others. And it's important to keep that in mind so that you can, again, learn from others and they can learn from you. And then you can move forward in, you know, whatever you're experiencing in the moment together. So definitely keep talking about it because you never know who's going to say the one thing you needed to hear to help you get over whatever slump you're in.
Yeah. And I think being connected to other survivors and caregivers in the brain injury community, Hope After Head Injury, we have a Facebook support group. We also have a once a month Zoom support group that you can have more of a personal conversation with people, but also the people in your life, friends, family, anybody who's in your corner that is a safe person for you that you could express to, hey, I might need some help with this, or will you remind me to do this? Or I find myself relying on my family a lot when it comes to these things, like having them help me, especially when I'm having a really hard day with my brain injury and I'm feeling highly symptomatic and I'm unable to do simple tasks. So being able to rely on the people around you is helpful if you're able to do that. So Marlene, what are some other practical advice or tips you'd have on implementing a care plan into your lifestyle at home?
I think another tip I would want to relay is, you know, just examine what type of season you're in your life. You know, I know, Christabel, you mentioned how supportive your family is. And I know for some people, they just don't have that luxury of having a supportive family, or maybe they used to and they don't anymore. You know, I think the type of support system we have is going to change with time. And sometimes you'll have those people who are your rock solid supporters from the beginning of your life to the end of your life. But then there's always going to be someone, right? There's always someone in your life who was meant to be a part of your life for just a season. And if you aren't able to kind of open yourself up to that, you know, that's something that I think is going to make it a little bit more challenging for you to be able to really apply what we're saying here today. Because again, you're not meant to do it alone, you know, and maybe that's the first step. Maybe it's identifying, okay, this is an issue for me and I need to figure out, you know, who can I call on to hold me accountable? Accountability matters when it comes to being able to identify, you know, what should your schedule look like? What pieces to the puzzle of your life should be included in that schedule? And how are you going to make sure that you're able to maintain that type of schedule for the type of quality of life you want to live? Again, accountability is big. So, you know, if you don't have someone that you can count on to kind of hold you accountable for all of these different things, then you want to figure out, well, how do I do that? How do I go about identifying another person to do that? And it could be a health professional. It could be a friend. It could be a family member. It could be a mentor. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunities for you to reach out and find who can guide you along the way. And I think, you know, it's important to be open to who might be available to do that, right? Because, and Christabel, I'm sure you experienced this. I think a lot of individuals want maybe you and I to be their mentor, want you and I to hold them accountable. And that might just not be what's right for their specific lifestyle move at the moment, you know, but we might be guiding them to someone else. And I think it's being open to that guidance and seeing again, where do all of the pieces fall to get you in front of the right person?
Yeah. And also, like you said, recognizing if you don't have that person, how do you become that person for yourself, at least in that season, you know? And one piece of advice I would have is when you have a lot of different recommendations being made from maybe different doctors and different types of thing, I like to keep everything in a central location. And so maybe having a binder or a folder where you have everything together. And then if you look at, here's what the PT says to do, but here's what the vision therapy says to do. And suddenly you're looking at a whole bunch of exercises and a whole bunch of things that you have to do every single day. It's too much with all together. And I think about when you were in grade school or high school, you know, every teacher might assign homework, not realizing what the other teachers assigned. And you'd end up with so much homework for every single class that you have. And it's not helpful when the teachers don't communicate. And I remember being in high school, especially with my brain injury, I had an IEP, which is for accommodations. And so one of the things that my special education caseworker did was help me to look at all of the things I had to do together and communicate with my teachers. So I would say to, let's say, my English teacher, I have a lot of history homework tonight, or I have a lot of math homework, and get an extension for a different subject because I wasn't able to do it all together. And that was one piece of self-advocacy that my special education caseworker taught me in high school, was how do I speak to my teachers and advocate for when I need extensions and what I need to do. And so I really think that I credit her with teaching me a lot of these kind of self-advocacy skills, learning them in the IEP, because I had my brain injury as a teenager. So I had it when I was in high school. So I had that experience with a special education and IEP, but I kind of apply that to my, you might want to apply that to your care team and think about, like you said, talking to your doctor about recommendations. You used an example with medication, but maybe saying to your physical therapist, hey, I have eye exercises for my vision therapy that I need to do every day. It's not sustainable for me to be able to also do these leg exercises and physical therapy exercises. And so maybe you can communicate with them and try and do vision therapy one day, physical therapy the next day, and create yourself a little schedule that isn't overloaded, that isn't too much all at once, but you're able to space it out in a way, like what I'm hearing you talk about a lot, Marlene, is creating a sustainable lifestyle for yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't live something that is impossible, but creating a lifestyle that is sustainable and that you are able to do. And I always find that I need to underestimate it a little bit because my tendency is to overestimate what I'm able to do. And then that's when I crash and fall. So I find if I underestimate it a little bit, I don't push myself like so hard that I feel like I can't keep doing it on another day.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I like that you mentioned the schedule. What we actually do in the rehab world, the post-acute rehab world anyway, is we use a weekly schedule template to help us keep track of our clients' treatment plans. You know, so again, as we're looking at the type of recommendations we want to make, and we're looking at, an individual's rhythm for their day, because we all have a different rhythm we follow, right? We all have a different pace. Some of us need to rest a couple different times throughout the day, and some of us don't. Or sometimes we need to think about not just physical fatigue, but cognitive fatigue and how that impacts what we do for the next couple hours in our day. And so the best way to do that, again, is sometimes just taking a weekly schedule and just map out all the things you do in a typical week. You know, what does a typical week look like for you? And then again, when you start to add all of these other things in there, whether we're talking about new medications that you're starting, we're talking about exercises that you mentioned, Christabel, or, you know, we're even just looking at trying to figure out why certain things are occurring when they occur. So, you know, the weekly schedule doesn't just help you in identifying how to implement the recommendations that you're hoping to follow through on, but it also helps to collect data, I think, you know, to then bring back to whoever made the recommendation so that they know how to help you pivot and do something different or continue doing what you're doing based on, again, the lifestyle that you've described to them. I think when you're able to set a schedule for yourself, ideally a routine schedule, it also becomes less effortful for our brains to decipher, you know, what's going to happen next. You know, I think about our brains going on autopilot. When you do something enough times in a repetitive fashion, it takes less energy to do it the next time, right? So this is something I hope brings hope to everyone listening today, is to say, like, hey, if you feel like, you know, your schedule's a mess, or you're just having a really tough time keeping track of all of these different things, there's hope in that once you get it on paper and you start to see what you're all doing, you can start to develop some sort of routine. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It always takes time to build a habit, and you always want to focus on one thing at a time. You know, you're not going to be able to have your whole life on paper perfectly the way you want ever, to be quite honest. But again, if you're able to identify the most important things to you and figure out, you know, how you want to prioritize it so that you can remain, you know, medically stable is the term that we use, so that you can remain medically stable and live the type of life that you want to live with meaning and satisfaction, then that's what you need to do, you know. But it's, again, it's going to take time, and it's going to take you being able to communicate with people and find someone who's going to help hold you accountable. And maybe that's just the thought of that might be, you know, daunting to you, right? Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I have to put my whole life on paper. That's a lot. And I know that's maybe even right there is, again, you needing to reach out to someone and say, how do I start here? You know, but it really is identifying where are you right now and figuring out what's the next step you need to make to be able to get to the point where, again, you are more aware of what you need to do when a recommendation is made and how you follow through with it. Raising your awareness, hopefully, is what Christabel and I are able to do in today's podcast. And then, you know, once your awareness is, you build your awareness up, you'll be able to start to apply some of these practical skills that we're trying to implement today.
Yeah. And you used a really important word. You said prioritize. And so you may not be able to write everything down or schedule in everything, but learning how to prioritize what's most important, getting those things down on paper, getting down what you feel is the most essential to your recovery, to your lifestyle, or to your health or the health of your family, whatever you need to do, that's the most important things that are non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to get written down, and that's where you need to begin. And from there, you can learn how to expand and start adding in a little bit more. And I think it's important to learn how to adjust along the way. Sometimes I may find myself being able to take on a little bit more. Like, I'll give an example with this podcast. I stopped season one of this podcast back in the spring because I was overwhelmed. I was doing too much. And everything in me wanted to just keep the podcast going and keep it going and not take a break. But I knew if I kept going, The episodes were not going to be good. I was going to crash and burn. My mental health and my brain injury and my physical health was just going to go down the drain. And so I've had to learn how to prioritize the things that I love to do that are important to me and do it in a different way. So we're here in season two after taking about a 6-month break from season one. And I've had to learn how to prioritize, how do I make this podcast happen? Because this is really important to me. So one of the things that I'm doing in season two is I'm working ahead. So I'm actually recording this podcast probably about a month before you're going to hear it. And so that gives me the time to edit the episode and to make it so it's going to be the most valuable and do it in a way that's sustainable to my life that helps me to be able to do this in the best possible way. But sometimes you have to adjust. So that does mean taking breaks from things that maybe are really important to you, but realizing that a break can be temporary. It's not quitting, it's taking a break and coming back for it again in a couple months after you reevaluate and realize what you can and you can't handle. When I have started season two, I realized in myself, okay, I'm ready now to go back to podcasting and go back to it. And so being able to make those adjustments in your lifestyle and in your recovery journey, I think is really important.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you hit on two really important topics that I want to kind of further elaborate on. So one, you discussed the non-negotiables, right? So I think it's important to say, you know, your non-negotiables are your non-negotiables, right? Not anyone else's. I think you want to be able to identify, again, what's most important to you in your life. Hopefully your medical stability is, you know, because you can't do anything else if you're not stable, you know, and I'm talking about physical, mental, social, spiritual, emotional health, like your whole well-being, you know, should be a priority in your life. But only you can really identify, you know, what that all means to you and, you know, what you want to sacrifice, I think is something that I want to, you know, really mention to everyone is when it comes to those non-negotiables, sometimes it means sacrificing something else, right? We often say that there are the urgent things and there are the important things. And being able to identify which is which in your life, I think is going to help you again with that priority list that you're going to be creating to identify, okay, what do I want to make a priority in my life? Because there's a lot of things I'm sure that, you know, for me, I'm an overly ambitious person, you know, probably similar to you, Christabel, where we want to do so many things, but we know realistically, in order to maintain the stability that we have in our lives and to be able to do it with the type of quality and dedication we want to commit to giving it, we're going to need to sacrifice some things. And with that sacrifice comes sometimes a pause in our life. So that's the second thing that, you know, I know you mentioned, Christabel, was just kind of reevaluating your life. I think when you feel like, again, there's just too much to track, right? There's so many recommendations you were given by a health professional. Plus you're trying to track your family life, your personal life, you know, including your social life, maybe your dating life, maybe managing the kids at home, maybe school and work. It's just like a lot to balance, right? And you feel like you have all these plates spinning and you don't know how to make it stop. And I think sometimes, you know, you have to kind of look at it from a different perspective and say, you know what, maybe I just need all the plates to just fall so I can start over, you know? And that's so hard for us to accept sometimes, especially for us overachievers. I do claim myself to be one of those, you know, it's hard for us to just stop and say no in the moment. So again, you said temporary, and I love that word. It's temporary. Stop so that you can reevaluate, refocus, hit the reset button, and just start again. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you feel like there's something wrong with that, you know, I beg you to, again, reevaluate what's going on in your life. If things are going well, then hey, keep doing what you're doing. But if you feel like something's not going well and you're not quite sure what to do, again, I think one of the best takeaways from today is, you know, maybe you just need to stop for a moment, mm-hmm. you know, to figure it out. Because if you keep going at the rate that you're going and nothing changes, then nothing changes.
Yeah.
And, you know, where do you go from there? And I'm sure, again, if you're in a situation where you feel like a change needs to happen, then this is a great way to start.
I think you brought up a good point that everyone needs that. I don't think this is just me, and any survivors listening, if you can relate to this, send me an email or post it in our Hope After Henry support group. I'd love to connect. But I find that as a survivor, we get into this mindset of thinking, if only I didn't have a brain injury, I'd be able to do this. If only I didn't have a brain injury, I would never have to take a break. And we idealize this idea of who we were before, or this idea of a healthy brain. And we create this perfect version of ourselves in our head that's not injured. And you think, if only I didn't have a brain injury, I'd be able to do this, and I'd be able to do that, and I'd be able to do this, and my life would be perfect, and I would never have to take a break, and I could do so much more, and I'd be able to show up for my friends and for my family and just do so much more in my life. And, you know, I do that to myself too, because one major setback that I have is I don't have a driver's license due to my TBI. And at one point I was able to get my learner's permit. It did not go well. And I was working with the driving rehab program at the hospital, and I got paralyzed and I got anxious, and all I could think about was all the brain injuries that happened in car accidents, and I just couldn't do it. And also with my reaction time, my processing speed, it just wasn't a good idea. And so I haven't tried again. And I know that's a big goal of mine. Someday I want to be able to drive, but I get into this mindset of, if only I could drive, I could see my friends and I could do this. And like, I set this ideal of myself. And then I think, well, if only I didn't have all these headaches, and I'd be so productive and I wouldn't have to take breaks and I'd be able to do so much more. And all that to say, I'm rambling a little bit, but I feel like as survivors, we set this ideal, this idol in a sense of no brain injured person. Like, if we didn't have a brain injury, what our life would be like, or of other people that don't have brain injuries. But if there's one thing that this pandemic and everything that, you know, we've seen is everyone struggles with mental health. Everyone struggles with a huge transition in their life and not being able to do the things they used to be able to do. And we have gone through that as brain injury survivors on a deeper level. And so when it comes to learning how to prioritize your life, I just wanted to make this note of, you're not less because you have to say no to something. You're not less of a person. You don't have less value. You are not less than in any way. Being able to prioritize and do the things that you need to do for your brain injury recovery, maybe whether it's medical recommendations, implementing into your lifestyle, learning how to prioritize, and living a sustainable lifestyle for yourself, it doesn't mean, it's not because you're broken. We're all human. And so realizing that you can be stronger through this, learning how to prioritize and set a schedule and more of a routine, and readjusting and evaluating and figuring out what's good for yourself. It's not just because you're this broken brain injured person. It's because you are choosing to take your health into your own hands, and you're choosing to do what's best for you, and you're choosing to do the hard thing and to heal and to grow. And we all have to learn how to do that in a sense. And for those of us with brain injuries, our brain just maybe burns out a little faster than others.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things that sometimes happens, and, you know, this isn't just reserved for the brain injury community, but I think sometimes we get locked into identifying ourselves with one label, right? So again, you're saying, you know, if I didn't have a brain injury, so now you've labeled yourself as this brain injury survivor, and that all the things that you're dealing with is because you have a brain injury. But I think if you start talking to other people that you may relate to on another level, so, you know, for you and me, Christabel, we would talk to other women, right? With or without brain injuries, other women who may be doing podcasts, or other women who may have similar, ambitious, goals that we have. We want to talk to other individuals that we can relate onto another level, because they may be able to highlight some things that they're going through that maybe you associated with just this one part of you. And now you're realizing, like, oh, it's not just because I have a brain injury. Like, other working moms with no brain injury deal with the same thing, you know, or other students in this type of field, they're majoring in this hard subject just like I am, and they're dealing with the same thing. So I think sometimes, again, it takes expanding our view and being willing to talk to others and not closing in on our world with this tunnel vision that prevents us from being able to really experience new things that, again, can propel us forward in a way that's going to enhance our overall quality of life.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great point. And for those of us with brain injuries, that's part of our journey. It's part of our story. It's not all of it. It's not everything of who you are. It's just part of your journey and it's part of your story. And yes, maybe that's the cause of why you maybe feel this way, but it doesn't mean you're the only one who feels this way. And so this goes back to kind of what you're talking about at the beginning is community, relating to others and realizing you're not alone. And so, Marlene, before we go today, I always like to ask our guest, what is a final word of encouragement or hope that you would have for our listeners today, whether they're a survivor themselves or they're maybe a caregiver or a family member listening on figuring out a way to help their survivor?
The last thing I want to leave you with is that you can be a learner and a teacher at the same time. You know, again, whenever someone is giving you advice, giving you a medical recommendation, remember that you don't just have to follow it, that you have the opportunity to teach in return too. Again, it should be an interactive dialogue. And I think that goes with anything that you're doing in life, all the interactions that you have. We have an opportunity to be the listener, the learner, and to mentor and teach. You know, we all have a foundation of knowledge that's important to share. And as long as we're open to communicating that with each other, then what a better world we would all be living in today.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing, Marlene. And thank you for coming on Hope Survives podcast. And so are there any resources that you want to share with our listeners or anything that they could view or they could get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, feel free to check us online at www.councilonbraininjury.org. On there, you'll find a lot of resources from the Council on Brain Injury, including the Rediscover You resource page that lists all of our classes and a couple different events that we have coming up. So feel free to check us out on there. You'll find some information, and hopefully I'll see you on a Zoom meeting one Monday night.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, are those something anyone could come to?
Yes, absolutely. So we meet virtually every Monday night from 6 to 7:30 via Zoom. The meeting ID and the Zoom info are all on the Council on Brain Injury website. Perfect. So feel free to check it out and feel free to hit me up. My information's on there also. I'd be happy to answer anyone's questions.
I will put that in the show notes for everyone, the links, and I cannot recommend it enough. I recently, just a couple months ago, joined the board of directors for the Council on Brain Injury. So I'm still new to it, but I wasn't sure if Rediscover You was something that anyone could go to. But knowing that now, I'm definitely going to share that information out more. I cannot recommend Marlene's group enough. If you liked what she had to say today, she leads this group every Monday and she brings in speakers. They have amazing topics. I can't recommend it highly enough if you are looking for somewhere to learn and to grow. And so we'll definitely send some our listeners your way, Marlene.
Thanks, Christabel. And I don't want to take all the credit because I do have Holly Off who helps me with that. And hopefully you can get her on your show soon because I think she has a wealth of knowledge that can also be helpful to all the brain injury survivors out there.
Oh, that's great. I'd love to connect with her too. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks, Christabel. Again, thank you so much. I think you're doing great, and I'm glad that you got me on this podcast. Hopefully everyone listens, and we'll be able to meet again.
Now, speaking of Rediscover You, I am actually going to be their guest speaker on Monday, December 6th. So if you want to join that night and see what it's all about, I would love to invite you to come on out. The website for Rediscover You will be in the description of this show. And yes, it's a virtual meeting for brain injury survivors to learn and grow together, as Marlene was talking about. But I did want to let you know that I'm going to be on there, so would love to see you there. Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time, and remember, there's always hope.